Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. It may be hard to reconcile something of beauty coming out of the events immediately following the shooting death of Michael Brown and the protest demonstrations that followed in Ferguson, but it did, in a most unusual way. It was public art created by a wide variety of people who put paint and their feelings together on the plywood panels put up to protect the windows of businesses during those demonstrations. Those familiar with Carol Swartout Klein's book, Painting for Peace in Ferguson, are familiar with many of those murals. Those who are not have a chance to see the real thing. Joining me in studio is Jacqueline Lewis Harris. She curated the collaborative community exhibition called Outside In, Paint for Peace. It features a selection of the original murals painted on boarded up storefronts. Jackie, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
I thought most of that artwork was probably long gone.
No, it was in the back of people's garages, in the back of stores, and a couple pieces we actually just took down before the exhibit because they were still covering the storefronts on a couple stores on South Florissant. So, yeah.
How many pieces are there will be included in your project?
In this one, it's going to be 23, but there's a lot more in storage.
How did you go about assembling it? I mean, if it's all over the place and in garages, where'd you find it now?
Well, there was a group of people. Carol had collected some pieces. Other people had collected pieces when they came down off their stores and just kept them in their garages. So the hardware store had it in the back of the hardware store. The coffee shop still has pieces in the back of their coffee shop. So some people just kept them. Other ones, they were in dumpsters, and people happened to see them and collect them.
What's behind this project? What got it all started?
Well, I think the main thing was Coca's whole
idea. Coca is sponsoring.
Yeah. And their whole idea was working with the community. And because of the book, then it was actually brought to them, well, why don't you have an exhibit featuring some of the pieces that were in Ferguson and also South St. Louis on South Grand.
Right. Can you give us a general idea of the kinds of themes that were involved? Not everybody's familiar with it. I think a lot of people around here are, but not everybody's familiar with the artwork that was posted.
Yeah, there's really two themes. One is themes of hope and rebuilding, and then the other one is sort of like themes of happiness and love and flowers and peace. It's really interesting because there's lots of doves. Lots of the phoenix rising from the ashes, lots of really positive quotes from anybody from Martin Luther King to Mother Teresa to Bob Marley. And then also you have ones with lots of involvement with children. And so those are the flowers and the swirls of color and really brightly painted panels.
This was pretty much a spontaneous thing that happened.
Yeah, see, this is the thing that's really making me happy because I work with a lot of individual artists in the past, but this was a thing where maybe one artist or one person came up to a store and started to paint and then invited other people. And then there were organizers like Tom down in South St. Louis who organized all the paint and went out on social media and sent out calls on social media for people to come in and paint. And people just showed up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of the time when you have big murals like this, if you have a lot of people painting, it gets sort of muddy and sort of unorganized, but these pieces are really well organized and they're beautiful.
I understand that some of these people were solicited to come out there and participate, mm-hmm. but how do you explain the initial outpouring, the initial surge mm-hmm. that really got it started?
I think what it is that some people demonstrate, some people go to social media, but artists have always responded. Think about Picasso and Guernica, for example. Mm. And you think about how do people react to a situation. In this case, these people wanted to express a positivity. They wanted to express that the community could work together. And this was one way to publicly express this without going to social media. You can just drive down the street and see these positive images. And you can see people working together on the positive images.
Yeah, the Picasso painting you reference is Guernica is the mm-hmm. is the one painted in reference to the Spanish Civil War and the massacre that took place
exactly.
there. And you compare that feeling, that inspiration to what went on in Ferguson.
Well, yeah, because it was the whole political expression. that was by one famous person. In this case, these are group-led pieces. So you have individual artists, but in other places, you also had just whole groups of people coming together, 15, 20 people, and deciding, okay, we're going to work with the dub. We're going to work with the dub and put in positive messages around there. And then, I mean, some messages were like, turn off the television, go out and meet your neighbors. So it wasn't all just like love and peace and flowers, but there were also other images about working together and how community works.
Who were the artists? Were they professional? Were they amateur? Were they total amateurs like myself?
It was a combination. Andy Cross, for example, he and his family painted the piece. It's 20 foot long. It'll be in the Sheldon. And that was one of the people. And then you have people like Lizzie Lenaro, who actually is one of our Ferguson residences and manages two restaurants and is a mother of four. And that's the person who started the piece, which is actually featured in the dub piece, which is actually featured in all the publicity. And she doesn't consider herself an artist. She's a person that came out and responded with her children, and other people came to the aid.
I should have asked this earlier. I'm not clear on what the dub piece is.
It's basically a huge white dub, and then it has words. It has words of peace and encouragement on it. Another person was Annie, who worked with the Ferguson Youth Initiative. Annie Martineau, and
you're involved with the film.
Right, yeah. And they made a mural called One Love, referring back to Bob Marley, and that's a 16-foot piece. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it was just an artist working with a group. Sometimes it was an artist by themselves, but most of the work is group work, community group work.
What do you hope to accomplish with this exhibit?
I think that it's like the phoenix. You know, you have a positive thing coming out of a negative thing. You know, there was lots of demonstrations. There were lots of unresolved issues yet in Ferguson due to the death of Michael Brown. And this art shows people that they can work together and send out community messages. I have people tell me, we wish they hadn't taken the murals down. We'd like to have those still up. But, of course, the businesses need light. So you can't have their windows covered 24/7. Yeah.
We'll talk more about the exhibit in a moment. We have mm-hmm. a call here, a caller who has a question that I was going to ask, but let's let Michael and Clayton ask it. Go ahead, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Hi, good morning. I was just wondering, do you plan on bringing any of the work into the schools on a little tour to show the kids what you have accomplished with this project?
It'll be online. We really can't bring it into school because most of the pieces, the smallest piece is 4 foot by 8. And so, and this is the reason why we have so many venues, because the pieces are huge, 16 by 8 foot, 20 by 8 foot, 8 foot by 12. And so it'll be online at the COCA website. And then there also will have some educational connections there that teachers could use on the website featuring the art.
And of course, there's Carol Klein's book that she was involved with you, as you indicated earlier, right? Mm-hmm. She has a number of those murals in her book, Painting for Peace in Ferguson.
Right, right. But this is much broader.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the exhibit. I know that it's getting started very shortly over this weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that, and then we can go into a little more detail. What's happening this weekend?
So this weekend it opens at COCA. And also at Gallery 210 up at UMSO, and you'll be able to see the One Love mural as you ride by on the Metrolink, because it'll be outside. Or if you go to the Two Hill, it'll also be there. And then the next Friday, it'll open at the Vaughn Cultural Center, and that'll be on a Friday. And also on that same Friday, which is September 2nd, it'll open at Ferguson Youth Initiative. And we're going to start that off with an intergenerational roundtable to talk about where is Ferguson going to go next and how the art around the roundtable.
So this is there is an educational component to all of this, obviously.
Yes, and they have a listing that just put on the COCA website that lists all the different educational opportunities and programs that are coming up, as well as the different talks. We'll have an artist talk at COCA on September 20th, which will involve at least six of the artists who were involved in the paintings themselves.
How long is all of this going to be going on?
To October 30th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to have all the information that's relevant to this on our website at sdlpublicradio.org. It's a lot to digest all at once.
Yeah, it's a rolling art party.
It's a rolling art party. And everybody loves a party, right?
Right.
That's right. Part of the, there's a bus tour component, right?
Yes, yes. And they're planning on that. And basically would start at COCA. And they actually, at COCA, they have a brochure. And it lists all the pieces. It has photographs of all the pieces. And then on the back of the brochure is a map. So you can actually make your own self-tour. And ride around. The main thing is just to double check at the venues to make sure that they're open, because they have different hours at the different venues. But they're very close together in some cases.
Is there just like one bus tour a day? Do you have a separate?
No. This is just one bus tour that they were planning at COCA, and I don't have the details.
Just a single one.
But then there's also one that's being organized by a group of women who work with inter-ethnic books. And they are also planning a tour with younger children.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, again, all of that information is on. Is there any charge for the tour?
No.
What's going to happen to all this magnificent artwork once you're finished in October?
Yeah, see, that's a good question. As we were standing out at the storage shed trying to decide. Well, in some cases, the work is going back to the companies where it was first displayed, like the medical center up in Delwood. They want their pieces back. Some of the artists want their pieces back. So it just depends. You know, in some cases, like El Palenque, which had the dub painting on it, that family wants that piece back because they think of it as a blessing to the family. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on who, where it was, who owned it, and who claims it.
Do you think that any of it ultimately will be available for sale?
No, I don't think so right now. Right now, we're looking at basically organizing it for a traveling exhibit, because we have had several venues ask, out of town, ask about having it there.
Well, one thing that comes to mind, I know you're starting this weekend, they're forecasting rain. Of course, what they forecast doesn't necessarily mean anything, but they're forecasting rain. What happens to the artwork out in the wet?
Well, you see, you got to remember, all this work was made to be outside. And it wasn't worked at that time, so you know that they a lot of the boards have been treated. And like the One Love mural, which basically is the only one that's outside, that was actually treated at the very beginning to be an outdoor mural in Ferguson. So there's no issue. Just so bring your umbrella.
You're not worried about that, that part of it at all.
No.
In a word or two, how important is this art?
I think it's really wonderfully important because it marks a time in history in the St. Louis region which could easily go negative. Yeah. And this is showing that people have hope and that they work together as a community to express the fact that they had hope. And it's still there.
And some of it, most of it, is really, really good.
Oh, I'd say all of it's really good. There's a couple pieces, but, you know, they have wonderful expressions.
Sure.
You know.
Jacqueline, Lewis Harris, thank you so much for being with us. And again, that information will be on our website. Hope you have a great success with all of this. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Arts and culture programming on St. Louis on the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.